You are on trend with the Alumni Trending Podcast. What's up, trendsetters? I'm Paul Clifford, your host of the Alumni Trending Podcast, a podcast for advancement professionals by advancement professionals. On Trending, you can expect to hear the voices leading our profession, advancing our institutions, and keeping higher education strong all around the world. I am your host, Paul Clifford, and joining me today is Barney Ellis Perry. Barney is an accomplished senior executive with an impressive 30-year track record of success in stewarding organizations to achieve results in both fundraising and in alumni relations. After graduating from the University of British Columbia, Barney launched his career in advertising and nonprofit fundraising before he returned to his alma mater, working in several advancement roles over his 15 years there. Then, in 2014, he was named the Associate Vice Chancellor and CEO of the UC Irvine Alumni Association. His career has been defined by program creation and innovation mixed with strategic planning and metrics. Today, Barney and I will be talking about outcome metrics, technology, and scaling an alumni engagement. I am pleased to welcome alumni relations thought leader, Barney Ellis Perry, to the podcast. Welcome, Barney.
Nice to be here, and thank you for all you've been doing with these podcasts. I listen to them when I work out, and I just really appreciate having this brain candy and that you're putting this forward for the profession. So thanks for what you're doing.
It has been an awful lot of fun. It has been a creative outlet for me. Plus, it gives me the opportunity to talk with alumni professionals all around the country to keep my skills honed and to pass the best information on to our listeners here at the Alumni Trending Podcast. And so thank you for joining us. I went through your resume and gave a brief introduction there, but maybe talk a little bit about the why behind your pursuit of a career in higher education advancement.
Thanks, Paul. It was, you know, coming out of university, super excited to land the dream job in advertising and very quickly realizing that it just didn't feel good inside. And through a series of events, I ended up really, like many people did, stumbled into fundraising. And right away, felt that feeling we get inside when we're successful in fundraising and alumni relations of making a difference. And that was just so rewarding and so exciting that it was just a natural fit. And I've always loved it and been really willing to work hard in that area. But coming from advertising where it's all about, you know, are you actually moving the dial? Are you selling what you're trying to be selling? Are you, you know, driving revenue? That I brought that to fundraising, and there was just a natural fit, especially in my early days in annual giving. So it all just, you know, really fit together. And then, you know, worked for various health charities, worked for a big hospital, had a little consulting company for a while with some friends. And that was all great. And then when I got, you know, back into higher education, just obviously loved that. But when I, you know, sort of stumbled again into alumni relations, it was almost like hitting this brick wall. Like, well, what dial are we moving and how do we know that? And so that was a very, very big change and a big shift for me. Because in fundraising, you know, it's all about what did you do for me yesterday? And, you know, what are your numbers? And you didn't really have that in the same way other than a very fledgling alumni engagement measurement program at University of British Columbia, which was one of the first universities. And I think it started in 1999. About 5 years before I got into that shop. And it was really neat to be part of. So I've just been really fortunate to have had this trajectory that has always been focused on measurement.
Absolutely. And I think that leads us right into our first topic. I know one of your passions ever since getting into the profession has been to put real outcome metrics on the work that we do in alumni relations. And you've actually written a lot about this, whether it was during your time at UBC or at UC Irvine, and then later on in the consulting world. But in your mind, what are some of the top metrics that 21st century alumni programs should be driving towards?
It really comes back to the institution's mission. And, you know, what I try and do and just did recently for a client is to break down the mission of the institution and the strategic plan of the institution to look at it very carefully to see where can alumni bring lift. And so the key metrics that should be measured from an outcome perspective for any institution are often going to be different. You know, what are their driving forces of their strategic plan? So, you know, it can be very individualized for that alumni office and that alumni effort. But at the end of the day, it really comes back to harnessing the power of all these amazing alumni and pointing them in the direction of that university mission. And so that might be advocacy, it might be student recruitment, it might be student mentorship, it might be fundraising, you know, it might be a mix of all of those things. It could be continuing getting people participating in continuing education. You know, there's a huge, you know, variety of things that can be done that are what I would call outcome metrics that really have an impact and have ultimately an impact on that university's mission.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into what you were just talking about and the distinction that you make between metrics and outcomes and outputs. Can you talk a little bit about the distinction that you're making there?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, you know, sort of a fine difference. So traditionally, in a lot of the alumni engagement measurement programs that people are doing, what the data that they're able to get is that which was within their purview. So how many people attended an event? How many people donated? How many people signed up to be volunteers? How many people mentored, et cetera? And that's great. But looking at those metrics, you have to ask the question, if someone comes to an event, what difference does that make? It's sort of like, you know, the tree falling in the forest. So if they've come to an event, is there any actual lift for the institution's mission? And you know, what's coming up? What's the outcome of that? And so that is sort of the divider of them. So a lot of outputs are things that people are doing and actively engaging, and it's super important to count that and track that. It's super important. And as your previous guest, you know, Chris Marshall talked about, like, it's getting the data, getting the data, getting the data. So you've got to get that. But then eventually, as your program becomes more sophisticated, you start to parse that data and say, okay, of these things that we're measuring, what are people doing that are actually having a big difference and having an outcome? And so that's where you're going to be looking at things like, are they becoming a mentor? Are they helping recruit students? Are they giving money? Are they joining a board? Things like that. And so you start to see the difference. And eventually what you hope to achieve is you're able to see, you know, if you do these five things, you're going to get these outcomes. And you can start to predict behavior, which is really important. And also, you can start to, you know, greatly tailor your marketing and your programs and activities to drive towards those desired outcomes for the institution. And you can actually, you know, show return on your investment that people are doing that, which is really vital. A big challenge, of course, is getting the data. And that can be very tricky to get data from other campus units. And that requires, you know, campus-wide buy-in. It takes leadership from the top. It takes a very clear strategic plan for the whole, for alumni, for the whole campus, so that, you know, every department head and dean can see why they should share their data. And that's not easy, not easy at all. In the program we just designed, it's, I can't say the school because it's not approved by the president yet, but we designed that based on their new strategic plan, which we pulled apart the new institutional strategic plan. We said, here's where alumni can bring lift. And then we designed their whole alumni strategy for the whole institution around that. And derivative of that is the alumni strategy for the alumni department. But this gives them, you know, once it's approved by the president, then all campus units, you know, are sort of gently being asked to go in that, those pillars, those directions, because they're going to impact the institutional strategic plan. And they're being asked to, you know, gather data and provide that data. And the plan is very focused on outcome metrics. So it'll be really interesting to see when that's approved, how that comes out. It's one of the first that I'm aware of. A number of very sophisticated chops, and some of the peers that people you know well are now having these conversations about how to take their alumni engagement metrics from a place of measuring outputs to measuring outputs plus measuring outcomes, and doing that across campus and really showing the return on investment. But it's early days. It's very early days. This all sounds great in theory.
Absolutely. You say very early days, and it sounds great. As we know, our friends on the development side have been doing this for a very long time. CASE has established the Voluntary Supportive Education Survey that they do every year, and that has become the standard for measuring development programs in higher education against each other and against your previous results. What has been the barrier to something like that having been established long before today in alumni relations?
I know exactly what you're saying, and it's so, to me, it's been so frustrating on this journey. A lot of it was the tracks just weren't laid. It's almost, I was fundraising for a long time, and those sort of measurement systems and how you did that was already in place, if you will. And in fundraising or alumni relations, it wasn't really there. And as I say, I got into it around 2005. And UBC's program was, they were part of four schools, and not all the four schools were doing it and really developing this engagement system and that measurement system. And that was really difficult. And for where it came down to was, where do you store the data? And so the dominant software programs, Blackbaud and the other ones, at the time didn't have systems to do that. And even as we upgraded to the newest system, which I was really involved in, it didn't have any place for alumni engagement metrics. So there was no tracks for us to run these programs on. And so we always got dubbed, patted on the head in that sort of condescending way. Well, you're just the friend raisers. And that is just so annoying to me. It's made my blood boil. And so to see these, 20, 30 years of data on fundraising and best practices, is really frustrating. And we still have a long way to go in alumni. The work that CASE has done on the standards, with the four buckets and everything is fantastic, and it's really great. But again, it is really early days. And so this outcome work is really the next level. I always think of planning as like the first, second, and third horizon, and your first horizon is what's going on right now. The outcome metrics piece of it is very third horizon. It's where you want to get to down the road. But if we don't have our eyes on that prize, we're never going to get there. So we have a lot of catching up to our fundraising colleagues, and that creates a lot of challenges at the leadership tables for us as alumni leaders to, defend and show our return on investment. And right now, we're heading into some pretty difficult times with budget cuts, with major changes and challenges for these big institutions and small institutions as well. And we have to really be sharp. So it is early days, but we're catching up quick. And if we look as well to some of our colleagues in Australia and other countries, where they've just sort of leaped ahead, based on what they've learned from what's happened in the United States, there's some really great stuff happening there in this area. So, I really think in 5 years, we're going to be in a very, very different place for metrics.
So, Barney, when you and I first got into the profession, and we got into it right around the same time, there was this tension, there was this rivalry, if you will, between development and alumni relations. And those of us who have a more progressive way of looking at the work that we do, we see alumni relations as being a partner or a complement to the work in development, right? We are not rivals of each other, but we are partners with each other, pushing towards the same outcome. Do you think some of the challenges that we face as an alumni relations industry and some of the challenges that we make have in identifying what the true metrics are, some way harken back to that time, and that we are hesitant to use fundraising outcomes as a measure of the work that we do in developing relationships that lead to those fundraising outcomes?
Absolutely. I love this conversation because, we've all experienced, we've all been at those tables, and it's really frustrating. one of the real game changers for having a different conversation with your development colleagues is when an institution is doing a campaign and looking at how are you going to move the dial for alumni engagement beside the financial dial. And in some cases, that's a doable campaign, which is something I helped develop at the University of British Columbia. And to change the mindset that we were going to have a goal around alumni engagement, I cannot tell you how difficult it was. The senior leadership got it, the president got it, the vice president got it, that was great. But there was this, there was sort of a mix of people in the middle of very traditional fundraisers who've been doing it a long time, and they just did not see why we should have an equal goal for alumni engagement and why we should make that explicit in our campaign. We're now seeing those dual goals, campaigns, quite a few of them all over the world now. But at the time, it really drove home to me that tension and that struggle that we have. And it can often be the case where the fundraising outcome, as you mentioned, we can be hesitant to use that. I think we should always be very explicit about the work we do to build the pipeline, to engage people in annual giving, and we need to really, be shoulder to shoulder with our development colleagues to drive those numbers of the number of alumni giving. But we also need to be shoulder to shoulder with our student recruitment colleagues. And we need to be shoulder to shoulder with our government relations colleagues. We need to have goals that are engaging, that are showing how the impact of our engaged constituents has all across the university. Because really, the alumni are that membrane between this massive body of people and the institution. And we really should be at the center of institutional strategy and institutional conversations about having impact.
That's a fascinating concept, the dual goal campaign. And I know you just touched on that you had experience with that at UBC. At the other BC, Boston College, I know that they had a focus of a dual goal campaign when John Feudo was leading their alumni relations efforts there. Talk a little bit about what you mean when you say a dual goal campaign, because I think we get all caught up in higher education about the multi-billion dollar campaigns that institutions are running, and we're really focused on the dollars raised, but many of these outcomes have other goals that are really focused on the long-term longevity and health of the fundraising pipeline. Talk a little bit about the dual goal campaign that you were part of at UBC.
It was a really exciting time. My boss had come from Stanford and she'd worked on a massive campaign, a multi-billion dollar campaign. And they'd had an internal alumni goal, but they didn't have an explicit one. And so through conversations, we're like, well, why wouldn't we do that here? Because we had an opportunity to, as we were going into the campaign. And where we came from that was the previous campaign at the University of British Columbia had just been focused on dollars, and it had really tarnished reputation with alumni. People felt that they were only seen by the university leadership if they had a lot of money and they could give big dollars to the campaign. And so we went through a period of maybe 10 years between campaigns because relationships have been so badly damaged. So we were trying to figure out a way to do that, to have a healthy campaign and make sure our alumni wanted to do it. And the dual goal was automatic. As I say, building that is extremely difficult. But at the end of the day, when you are launching your campaign, you're able to say to every alumnus, we see you, and what you can do is important. We need you to volunteer. We need you to be an advocate for the institution. We need you to participate in research. We need you to give money, but we need you to do all these other things. We want all of you. We want your time, your talent, and your treasure. And that totally changes the messaging of the campaign in a really, really powerful way. And that worked super well at UBC. We actually met a very aggressive alumni goal. We were to double alumni engagement in a measurable way in 5 years, and we did it in 4 years. And we raised the $1.5 billion, which at the time was one of the second biggest campaign in Canadian history. We did that on time as well, over goal. So it was just a really good news story. And what I loved was on the campaign website, on almost every area, every department, where you saw an opportunity to give support, you saw a button to give and a button to get engaged side by side. And that was really, really difficult to do. We spent a lot of time working with our colleagues to, you know, help them articulate the other ways people could get involved instead of giving, as well as giving. And that was really, really important. A lot of fun, but not easy.
I can only imagine. I want to shift gears a little bit here and talk about COVID-19 and the impact that COVID-19 has had on advancement and in particular on alumni organizations. You know, back in March, and I say back in March, I feel like we're in week 16 of March right now. But back in March, you wrote an article with a provocative headline, "Will COVID-19 Push Alumni Organizations to Go Viral?" And my immediate thought was, yeah, was the Seinfeld adage. It's a little too soon for jokes like that. But will COVID-19 push alumni organizations to go viral? There is a definite linkage between COVID-19 and alumni organizations that are able to leverage technology. Talk a little bit about that article and some of the points that you were trying to make there.
Well, it's obviously, you know, we're all getting 2 months to the gallon in our cars and we're not going anywhere. And it's been a really challenging time. And, you know, I talked to my friends who are running alumni organizations. It's been so, so tough. But what I found is they've fallen into three buckets. And there are some folks who sort of have their heads in the sand and this is just going to go away. You know, we're going to get back to business as usual. And then there's another group that is, you know, really, you know, like you've done with your organization, moved fast. You know, like I love how you had your three groups and you moved really quickly to be responsive and to, you know, the world's most overused word right now, pivot. And that's really exciting. And then there's a third group, and that third group are the organizations that have been investing in technology and in scaling for years, and that's been a core part of their strategy. And those folks they're like the cat with who's eating the canary with a big smile on his face. They're reaping the rewards of that. And so I think they're, you know, we all now can see some tremendous examples of new ways to, you know, engage our alumni in ways that are scalable, but also much more on par with what our alumni are experiencing in the marketplace. And that for me has always been the big challenge. And my sort of mantra has always been, let's get out of the middle. Because, you know, alumni, every year you have thousands of new graduates. It's, you're in a losing game numbers wise every time. And so, you know, hand to hand combat is not the way to do it. So I've always been involved in technology and trying to scale things. And it's, and a big part of the driver of that is because what people experience outside of the bubble of their alumni, you know, experience in the rest of the world is totally different. And so we need to catch up to that. And so for a client, a while ago, I designed their alumni program because it was really one from scratch. And we designed it, so this was last fall, that it would totally basically be mobile. The whole alumni experience, everything could be accessed from your phone. You can engage with them via your phone. Everything can be done by mobile. And that was this idea. There will be no in-person events for that organization. There will be none of the traditional stuff. And so it's this, you know, COVID has pushed us in a way where we're being forced to catch up, you know, with the market and forced to, you know, meet our constituents in a different place. And that place is online. And it's going to be really interesting. And, you know, as I said earlier, I think we're also, a lot of organizations will be facing big budget cuts, and they're going to have to really rethink how they deliver services and how they use their budgets. And there's probably going to be a lot more money allocated, you know, taken from certain places and allocated to technology and the staff and the brains it needs. And it's often a different toolkit to be really effective as online delivery. And sometimes they're going to need different types of professional skills amongst their staff because it is very different, but it can be super effective.
You know, I talked about the natural tension that existed 20, 25 years ago between development and alumni relations. Recently, that natural tension has existed between traditional event planners and a digital strategy for engagement, right? Utilizing technology. And one of the things that I've been pleasantly surprised by is how my event planners at the Penn State Alumni Association have really shifted to become digital event planners, if you will. I've been lucky that the skill sets that they have were really suited to engaging people across digital platforms. Now, I'm talking about that is not the case all across the country, and that COVID-19 has forced us to really think about what our digital engagement strategy is, and to really think about that from a digital-first mindset. That's going to be a big part of our strategic plan that we are putting in place right now for the Penn State Alumni Association. But I imagine that that's going to be a centerpiece to alumni strategic plans all around the world here forward. Is that the way you're seeing it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Paul. I've witnessed that event planner tension before, and I several times worked with teams where I would drive them crazy because I'm like, well, why can't we just simulcast, this content on Facebook Live or whatever? And several times I've had the experience where they come to me halfway through the event, smiles on their faces and say, well, okay, I guess maybe even possibly had an idea here because we now have more people online than we do. And sometimes it's, we'd be in a packed room with 300 people, we would have met that objective, but we would have 400 people online watching it. And so it is really interesting to see people move to that. And it's really exciting for me to watch that. I completely agree, with your comments about, the move towards technology first. So one thing I've always liked to do, done with some clients recently, is called technology mapping, and basically taking their strategy and looking at every single thing that they do and assessing where is that, from a tech, is there a technology being used currently? If so, what is it and how effective is it? If there isn't one, could it be scaled? So, for example, book clubs are a great example. That is now you're seeing those pop up online, and there's some great services for that. Versus the traditional, you have 8 people in a room book club. And so it's about going through your whole strategy and saying, how could we do this with technology? And then, having a way to rate that and prioritize it and, really think, in new ways. An example we had at UCI was we had a newsletter that was a, usual e-newsletter. A lot of work went into it. We wanted to do something different, and we ended up doing Facebook Live video. And we went from 1,800 people a month who would open the newsletter or read it more than 60 seconds or something. And we went to 25, 30, 40,000 people watching the video of the same newsletter content, just delivered in a different manner. And so, when you experiment and play with new technologies, it can be really, really exciting, and it's fun for me to see the lights go on, with folks when they have a win, and not everything's going to work. And that's part of what COVID is giving us is that latitude to fail, to experiment and, try new and different things, which is really fun. So it's a tough time, but it's an exciting time. And as organizations, think in new ways about technology, I really encourage them to also look outside of our sphere of advancement and really look, at interesting, exciting organizations that they find themselves engaged in. Change.org and there's some Global Citizen. There's some really neat engagement organizations out there that are outside of our worlds that we can all learn a lot from.
Really good stuff, Barney. I want to thank you for joining us on the Alumni Trending Podcast. We have a tradition here on the podcast and where we give our guests the final word on the profession. And so I want to give you that opportunity as well. Where do you see our profession trending?
I really see us, some people say that alumni engagement is declining. And, I think we're maybe, there has been a bit of that. But I think, with COVID, we have the opportunity as advancement professionals to position our institution as the place to come to for our alumni and our constituents when they want to learn, when they want to grow, when they want to move forward in their careers, when they want to have that personal lift from volunteering and being a mentor, when they want to have the satisfaction of giving, when they want to learn, when they're curious. And I think we are poised, if we really use technology well, if we really leverage our position within institutions, to be that wonderful center of the hub where we make the connections happen for all of these amazing smart people with our these incredibly smart institutions we work for. So I really want all of us to rise to that challenge, to be creative, to take risks, and to do what it takes to make sure that our institutions are more relevant than ever and thriving in the future.
Barney, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way where they can get in touch with you, or where can they read the great stuff that you're putting out there?
Sure. LinkedIn is best. Barney Ellis Perry on LinkedIn. Reach out to me on that. And actually working on another article on tech mapping, actually. That'll be going up soon. And yeah, always happy to have conversations. This is my favorite thing to think about. So, love to have more conversations. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today, Paul, and for what you're doing for us all. This is just a fantastic service to our community. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you joining me on Alumni Trending, a thought-provoking conversation, and I know it'll be inspiring to those who hear it. So thank you very much.
I'm John Feudo, Vice Chancellor for University Advancement at UMass Lowell, and I'm staying on trend by listening to the Alumni Trending podcast.
There you go, trendsetters, another episode of Alumni Trending. If you are enjoying the Alumni Trending podcast, make sure you go out to iTunes or your podcast app of choice and give us a rating and drop us a review. We'd also love to hear from you. Drop me an email at paul.clifford@alumnitrending.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in and keep trending.